got a snake on my back. I keep a red bone on my side.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Monday, September 14th, 2020 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And obviously a wild and dystopic ride it is. There are very strange things happening. Seems the zombie apocalypse is occurring right before our very eyes. And Homeland Security, Department of Homeland Security, had some strange YouTube videos. I've mentioned those in the past. One in particular, they seem to be joking about preparing for the zombie apocalypse late last year, which is just another curious coincidence in my humble estimation. We've talked about some things in the past that sort of explain some of these things. I've mentioned the IKEA effect, for example, cognitive bias. As Wikipedia puts it, the IKEA effect is a cognitive bias in which consumers place a disproportionately high value on products they partially created. And a 2011 study found that subjects were willing to pay 63% more for furniture they had assembled themselves than for equivalent pre-assembled items. So there's something to this participation equates to value, psychological phenomenon. And so I've talked about that. The IKEA effect specifically, we've talked about Dunning-Kruger. We've talked about cognitive biases, confirmation bias, for example, cognitive dissonance. These are forms of cognitive dissonance. We've talked about Stockholm syndrome and a variety of other things. But I'm going to dive into effort justification a little bit today and see if that doesn't help explain a lot of what's going on. I've talked about Stockholm syndrome in relation to voting. It's an election season. And I've mentioned in the past that most candidates who run for, the big positions end up attacking their constituents. And because of effort justification and Stockholm syndrome, people end up defending their kidnapper, essentially. And they tell us things like, well, he beats me because he loves me, kind of thing. Don't worry. And so you see this in the Trump community, for example, most recently. Folks leaning toward things that, to explain things that don't necessarily make sense. And trying to explain those things away by reaching into some kind of fantasy land. For example, I had a conversation a while back with a lady who said, as we were talking through the conversation, she said something about the Second Amendment and Trump supports, this and that. And I said, but what about when he said, maybe we should take the guns and follow due process later? And she said, oh, yeah, he did say that. And so then we started talking about vaccines and things. And I said, what about when he said on the White House lawn, as he's about to hop into the helicopter, he was asked about vaccines. And he said, oh, yeah, they have to take their vaccines. They must take their vaccines. It's very important they take their vaccine. What about when he said that? That was interesting. And so we went through a series of talking points, and it's curious to me how people will dismiss the actual, the literal, the obvious as they try to reach into fantasy land and say, well, just wait, because what he's doing is he's trying to give them enough rope to hang themselves and these kinds of things. Talking about cryptic tweets and things like that, people who may or may not be in the public eye, and this is the explainer for that. You know, reaching into some kind of fantasy, some kind of fairy tale with justifications for things that are not obvious and that cannot be verified, at least not at this point, and trying to explain things away that I think we should be careful and maybe a little more literal about. So I think that's very fascinating how that happens. And I think, you know, the IKEA effect or effort justification goes a long way to explain that. There's participation there. People are drawn into participating. They associate themselves with these things. You know, and I've talked about, for example, people donating to NPR or PBS, things like that. There's a reason that they do these fundraisers, and it's not that the Ford Foundation is running out of money. It's because your participation equals effort justification, in a sense. And it's a very diabolical thing, I think. But there is something to it. And I believe this is why you find people trying to justify things. You know, it's a difficult thing to vote for somebody and then watch that person turn around and attack you and their broader constituency. It's a difficult thing to say, well, I'm one of the goofballs that voted for this person. And so most people will try to justify these things. It's a normal human response. And the Bernaysian types know that. They've studied this stuff for a long time, and it's very effective in balkanizing people and keeping people distracted while pirates do what pirates do. So this line of thought arose yesterday in response to, does voting matter? And I think we even played the Dick Gregory clip. There were two that I intended to play, and I think we played at least one recently. Maybe we should play that again, at least one or maybe both of them. But, you know, does voting matter? And I don't want to discourage anybody from doing what they think they should do by any means. But I do at least want to raise some awareness on these issues so that we're more thoughtful and intelligent about what we choose to do and not blindly plodding forward. I think, you know, speaking of effort justification, it also incorporates that whole choose your own adventure kind of concept, you know, Encyclopedia Brown or Arthur Conan Doyle, who was part of the Fabian contingent, the Theosophical Fabian contingent. And so, I mean, speaking of that, I read from the Work of the Hierarchy that, you know, you're supposed to, this is supposed to be your idea. You know, these people working in accordance with this plan and the hierarchy, you know, they're doing these things and they don't want to manipulate people or coerce people. You know, there is a plan. They work according to plan and are known as the custodians of the plan. This plan is for all people everywhere in the world and works out under the impelling power of evolution itself, which is an interesting statement. Local action in any one country or race is only undertaken for the benefit of the whole of humanity. Number two, they work under law and never coerce or pressure humanity. Individual freedom, particularly mental freedom, is never infringed. Yeah, right. But, you know, they are the suggestibilists, as I say, and these suggestions are put out, and, you know, these psychological phenomena have been studied for generations, and they are used very cleverly to manipulate people, perhaps in Bernaysian fashion, we could say. So, you know, that should always be in the back of our minds as we watch the things happening around us. And, gosh, you know, speaking of manipulation, coercion, and, I don't know, ideological subversion, television is becoming entirely repugnant, I would say, if it hasn't been for a long time already anyway. But remember, speaking of this influence, Vance Packard told us in The Hidden Persuaders, published back in 1957, Mr. Bernays has gotten his views published in the annals of the American Academy of Political and Social Science, where he pointed out that, quote, newsworthy events involving people usually do not happen by accident. They are planned deliberately to accomplish a purpose, to influence ideas and actions. Planned deliberately to influence ideas and actions. To influence ideas and actions. So the idea is that it becomes your idea. No one wants to be told what to do, but no one wants to be an idiot, so most people are very uncomfortable swimming against the current of social convention, that is, in this case. And so we've had a breakdown of social convention in the orchestrated deconstruction of American society, and people are clamoring to find some kind of cohesion. And this effort justification is something that I think you can see. I mean, it happens in voting, but I think you can see it with the masks also in particular. And so I'm going to sort of touch on that for a moment here today. And so again, you know, this discussion arose as a result of the question, you know, does voting matter? And, you know, it's a rigged game. So I mentioned the national election pool, as I always do every election season. The late, great Jack Otto talked about the Voter News Service. And he's the only other person I've ever heard talk about this stuff. We've heard about black box voting. We've played the clip of Clint Curtis this election season, even talking about how he was hired to rig the voting machines. Can you do it in an undetectable way? And he talked about how he thought he was being hired to do it so that they could, you know, he thought they wanted to reverse engineer the process so they could figure out how to prevent it. But no, he discovered that they actually wanted to do it. They wanted to rig an election 51-49 for their candidate and have it be undetectable. So, you know, we've talked about that. Black box voting and a number of other things. But we'll dig into the psychology of this a little bit more today. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time, the green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank, fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone, all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance. Flashbulbs, no wine. He's haunted by something he cannot define. Bowel shaking earthquakes of doubt and remorse assail him, impale him.
So let's start, I guess, with the national election pool. Maybe we'll come back to this other stuff. You know, Dick Gregory told us a long time ago. Remember, he used to talk, well, there was that article, I think it was a Wall Street Journal article back in the 80s that talked about the 1968 presidential election cycle and how Dick Gregory was leading in Pennsylvania until the powers that shouldn't be realized, oh my goodness, what is happening here? Something happened with our vote rigging system. Better fix that. And, you know, so the next thing you know, that got shut down real quick. And, you know, it was based on a Wall Street Journal article. So it's not conspiracy blog central. Maybe we'll come back to that, though. First, let's just play a little clip. Speaking of the national election pool and exit polling and entrance polling, all kinds of polling telling you who you're voting for before you actually vote. Here's a little something. Go ahead, please.
We are just a few minutes away from the caucuses officially getting underway here in Iowa. We are also awaiting entrance polls.
Chuck Todd is in Iowa. He's got a look at our entrance polls. Chuck?
Let's talk a little bit more about this entrance poll.
We have sent through our folks at Edison Research that the networks use to deploy what we have as entrance pollers.
Rick, I want to talk about some of the entrance polls because it's been clear, at least in Iowa, the most important issue for voters tonight.
These Democrats are showing up to these caucuses with one thing in mind, finding a candidate that can beat Donald Trump.
Giant number here, 6 in 10, who said they want somebody who can beat Donald Trump.
This is the most important issue right here, electability.
When it comes to top issues, we see health care being prioritized.
Replacing private health insurance with a single government plan, 57 support, 38 oppose.
Mm-hmm. All right, Senator Klobuchar, one other thing that I thought from the exit poll that might have you a little nervous. And let me tell you this one. 60% want to see all private insurance gotten rid of.
Entrance poll data shows that 31% of voters, at least tonight, made up their mind either right now or they made it 2 or 3 days ago.
Joe Biden and Pete Buttigieg are actually the ones who are overperforming with these late deciders for now, which could actually make things a little bit interesting.
Voters over 65, they love Biden. They're comfortable with Biden. Younger voters, it's not happening.
There's your top four. Wow. Bernie Sanders at 48% among young voters, 5% among 65 plus. Big news right now? We don't have any results.
No news.
We basically
the lack of news is the news.
Us burying our head in the entrance poll.
So it might be a long night, but we do have our entrance polls to show you.
These are all the notes we've gotten from the entrance polls through the night. This is all we have.
For about 3 hours tonight, there was no data. There was virtually no information coming from the campaigns other than their own interpretations of the publicly reported entrance poll results.
Just going by the data we see on the entrance polls, the Buttigieg folks have to feel fantastic.
So we don't know all the results. But we know by the time it's all said and done, Iowa, you have shocked the nation.
That's interesting,
tonight,
huh?
Voters like Iowa said elected...
You're hearing who you're voting for and the issues that matter to you before you cast your vote. And there is, based on the conditioning that we all experience in this society and have for generations of, you know, the social engineering into herd think, believing, again, as the Lucius Truss talks about in The Work of the Hierarchy, for example, that the herd is supreme to the individual. And the individual doesn't matter, should submit oneself to the work of, you know, the greater good and all of that kind of nonsense. You know, but what if this, whatever the work is going on, is not necessarily, what if it's irredeemable, so to speak? What if it's not a good thing? I mean, could a billion Chinese be wrong? Could they? Yeah, actually they could. Man is inherently flawed in his makeup. He's not perfect. And so it's possible, you know, and it's possible for a group of people to be wrong. And folks like Mencken, H.L. Mencken, have talked about this along the way. You know, democracy is the pathetic belief in the collective wisdom of individual ignorance. I believe the way that Mencken put it. So it's possible, but it's interesting, you know, once you start diving into the national election pool, that I usually say is the first place that I point folks. So maybe we'll start there and we'll play a few clips. Does voting matter? I'm not trying to dissuade or discourage anyone. actually, I'm trying to raise awareness as to, you know, how things actually work. According to, again, you know, we can take the information that's readily available, even in places like Wikipedia, for Pete's sake, and it should leave us scratching our heads, asking questions. How is this possible? It seems once you start looking at things like the National Election Pool, what Clint Curtis said, what Dick Gregory said, the Gillens and Page study from 2014, effort justification and so on, that, you know, the deck is stacked against us, so to speak. So we will look at a few of these things and, you know, you decide for yourself. We should all decide for ourselves. So the National Election Pool, I like to start there. Again, Jack Otto talked about the Voter News Service, which was the last iteration of this organization. And in that last talk that he gave, he mentioned the VNS, the Voter News Service. This is an organization that's been around for a long time. I've talked about this from time to time since about the time Jack Otto mentioned it. And I've watched as the Wikipedia entry, like so many others, gets whittled away down to almost nothing. But for what it's worth, we'll start there. I want to get to the effort justification, though, because it's very, I think, insightful. If we're willing to exercise a little self-examination and a little critical thought, I think it's very fascinating. You can see how we're being manipulated. So the National Election Pool is, according to the Wikipedia entry, a consortium of American news organizations formed in 2003 to provide exit polling information. Provide exit polling information. And let's just start with exit polling. You heard entrance polling there in the clip that we played. Speaking of exit polling information, this is like the multi-level marketing story that people used to tell. You know, I knew and then the network marketing folks used to joke about this. I ran into somebody at an airport whose brother knew a guy who was married to somebody whose cousin lost his shirt in this thing. They used to tell that story. And so exit polling is kind of like that. You know, there's somebody out there that has been polled at an exit poll, but no one has ever met anyone or knows anyone who was actually polled at an exit poll, let alone where they polled themselves. And so when you start to look into this idea that exit polling is conducted, now entrance polling as well, and the notion, the chimerical notion, if you will, that you could somehow select a cross-section of precincts somewhere, and out of that cross-section of precincts, you could somehow find people coming out of a polling station that you could say, Mr. Mrs. So-and-so, would you please provide us with this, you know, who you voted for anonymously? How many people would do that? So a cross-section of polling stations and a cross-section of precincts and a, you know, a minute cross-section of voters that would actually cooperate in something like this. And you're actually trying to tell me that you could use that information to accurately forecast not just who might win the election, but the exact number of votes and the exact percentage by which, you know, this candidate might win over that candidate. It's preposterous. It's utterly absurd. But you know what? That's what we're led to believe. So from Wikipedia, the National Election Pool is a consortium of American news organizations formed in 2003 to provide exit polling information for U.S. elections, replacing the Voter News Service, which had failed disastrously in 2002. And there is a link to Jim Ruttenberg's November 5, 2004 New York Times article. Report says problems led to skewed surveying of data. It's just called corruption in simple terms. So, you know, we don't need to be clever about it. So, report says problems led to skewed data. It's one way to put it. So, continuing with the Wikipedia entry, as of 2017, member companies were ABC, CBS, CNN, and NBC. Fox News and Associated Press formerly were part of the pool, but left in 2017 due to plans to conduct their own online polls and other experimental alternatives to gauge voter sentiment. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to gauge voter sentiment. And again, when you think about this, to try to accurately forecast voter sentiment, you would imagine would be a very difficult thing. So continuing, the pool contracts with Edison Research, which is interesting. Now listen to this sentence in its entirety. The pool contracts with Edison Research, and, you know, Mitofsky International used to be mentioned, not mentioned anymore. The pool contracts with Edison Research to conduct the exit polling and to perform vote tabulations. Now, that's interesting, don't you think? There's a link to Edison Research. Election day coverage conducted by Edison Research, the definitive source for accurate, timely, and comprehensive election data, exit polls, vote count, election projections, delegate estimates, exit polls, vote count. Interesting. And so, you know, again, Clint Curtis's testimony is worth mentioning and probably playing. So, vote count. The NEP provides media organizations with real-time vote results in all 50 states for statewide races, ballot initiatives, and House races. The NEP vote count from Edison Research is the only service continuously updated after election day. We track every vote until results are certified by all states. Vote count data is available for statewide results. Vote by congressional district, county vote data breakouts for statewide races and all U.S. House races. The fastest and most complete vote results. Multiple sources allow Edison Research to provide faster reporting of vote data than any other organization. So they provide exit polling data. They actually, you heard the clip we just played, they provide entrance polling data, exit polling data, and vote count data. So like Stalin said, it's not who votes that counts, it's who counts that votes. Now we have this Bernaysian mind trick, this Jedi mind trick that's going on prior to the election that gets you, that normalizes, gets people set into this, what I would call bifurcation fallacy of elections. And I always think of John Adams and the way that he put it, he said, there's nothing which I dread so much as a division of the Republic into two great parties, each arranged under its leader and concerting measures in opposition to each other. This, in my humble apprehension, is to be dreaded as the greatest political evil under our Constitution. And the way that I actually answered this question, does, you know, does voting matter or is it not? You know, there are two general ways that I answered the question. And the first was The candidates don't know you. You don't know the candidates, generally speaking. How many people have actually met the people they are supposedly voting for? And so, how can someone who whom you don't know or doesn't know you accurately represent your interests? I think that's kind of a basic question. You know, if you haven't met someone, again, John Adams put it this way. He said, there is something very unnatural and odious in a government 1,000 leagues off. Remember, there was, you know, we heard there was a time when we were trying to distance ourselves from that kind of concept, that unnatural and odious concept of a government 1,000 leagues off. I seem to recall something about, you know, to that effect, when in the course of human events becomes necessary, you know, that kind of thing. Facts submitted to a candid world, that kind of thing. So John Adams said, there is something very unnatural and odious in a government 1,000 leagues off, a whole government of our own choice, managed by persons whom we love, revere, and can confide in, has charms in it for which men will fight. Do we have people whom we love, revere, and can confide in now? It seems that in accordance with the protocols, so to speak, now we're getting mafia people who are just compromised, nothing but compromised. And, you know, that's the best you get. The lesser of two evils, as some folks put it. So when was the last time we had a whole government of our own choice managed by persons whom we love, revere, and can confide in? Which, as John Adams said in a letter to Abigail, May 17, 1776, has charms in it for which men will fight. So you don't know the candidates, they don't know you. Kind of, you know, the first point. And that leads to the second point, which is, you know, the American people are generally not familiar, certainly not intimately acquainted with the Republican form of government we were given. It's my understanding we were supposed to have government that was sort of headquartered, like John Adams said, managed by persons whom we love, revere, and can confide in, not a government 1,000 leagues off, which for all intents and purposes is what Washington, D.C. represents. That's the opposite. At least according to the first vice president, second president under the Constitution, you know, one of the Committee of Five, one of the seven most influential guys of that era, according to most historians. That's what he said. So most Americans are not acquainted with this concept. Completely unfamiliar with the foundational tenets, have not read, you know, anything. The Federalist Papers probably wouldn't recognize the Declaration of Independence or Constitution if they saw them. Not familiar with anything John Locke wrote or Blackstone's commentaries or any of these kinds of foundational ideas. So when you put those things together, your candidates don't know you and you don't know them. And most people are unfamiliar with they don't understand the Republican form of government we were allegedly given. And I suppose lastly I would throw in what actually exerts pressure on politicians. I've talked about debt retirement parties. The article in the New York Times, 1982, a few years ago, debt retirement party becoming an institution. New York Times, November 29, 1982. Debt retirement parties. The article reads, the fundraising invitation was standard. Drinks next Wednesday at the home of Bill Brock, former senator from Tennessee and the administration's trade representative. Price of admission, $250 per person. Oh, my gosh. Inflation. What makes the party unusual is that the guest of honor, Don Sundquist, has not even been sworn in as a Republican congressman from Tennessee. The Sundquist party is helping to kick off a whole new stage in what has become a year-round preoccupation in Washington, the raising of campaign funds. Excuse me. The raising of campaign funds, a year-round preoccupation. Now that the fall campaign is over, candidates are eager to retire their debts so they can start stashing away cash for 1984. Is that maybe a metaphorical analogy or allusion there? On Thursday, both parties will be holding receptions so that the 81 newly elected House members who will be in town for orientation sessions can meet the managers of the major political action committees. These managers control millions of dollars in campaign cash, and the reception scene is likely to resemble a college mixer. And so, you know, back to influence. Who and or what exerts influence on elected officials? And I suppose, you know, Mr. Smith goes to Washington is worth mentioning. And also the Gillens and Page study, you know, we might as well mention that here. Testing theories of American politics, elites, interest groups, and average citizens. And they surmised, based on analysis of 20 years worth of data, that multivariate analysis indicates that economic elites and organized groups representing business interests have substantial independent impacts on U.S. government policy, while average citizens and mass-based interest groups have little or no independent influence. Let me give you one practical example. I'm aware of a grassroots, independent, citizen-based, average citizen-based, in Gillens and Page context here, campaign in Idaho to recall Governor Brad Little. I inquired recently, how is that going? Yeah. Not enough votes. You can't find enough people in Idaho to recall Brad Little who say that, you know, what he has engaged in is abuse of power. Guarantee you could find enough people, but it's just not all over. It's not shellacked all over social media and television telling you what you should be doing. It's a grassroots campaign. It's a few people at a grocery store here, grocery store there. So guess what? It doesn't get the traction. But what does exert influence on elected officials? Well, debt retirement parties, special interests, lobbying groups. You know, the average citizen is not showing up on Capitol Hill and whining and dining folks and retiring debts. And like Mark Twain said, cornpone opinions. Show me where a man gets his cornpone and I'll tell you what his opinions is. So the American public is subsidizing this further looting and pilfering. But, you know, the special favors and the special Christmas presents and things, you know, the really shiny, flashy stuff comes from lobbyists. So, you know, candidates don't know you. You don't know them. How can they represent your interests? The American people don't understand the Republican form of government, which we were given. And finally, who and what exerts influence on elected officials? I don't know. Practically speaking, aren't these things important? I think they are. Stick around. We'll be right back.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease-Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendovite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendovite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. Again, this is not, I'm not trying to discourage or dissuade or really persuade or influence anybody in any particular direction. Does voting matter? We've talked about this, well, every major election cycle for quite some time. You know, we talked about it in 2016, 2012, 2008. I guess that's only three times, but you know, in the intervening years, if you will, we've talked about it. Definitely every 4 years. Talk about it. I'm just saying that we shouldn't be naive. And I think it's the naivete of the public that James Corbett talks about in Big Oil that is largely responsible for the perpetuation of myths like, you know, voting works and it's just this simple. You know, it's not just a mail-in ballot issue. And every election cycle, we get something. We get black box voting. We get mail-in ballot controversy, et cetera. And it's the entire system that is rigged. I mean, from front to back and everywhere in between. You know, the Wikipedia entry for the national election pool mentions Edison Research conducting exit polling and performing vote tabulations. Is that possibly an area that we should look more closely at? You know, especially after even the Wikipedia entry mentions, you know, the Voter News Service had disastrously failed in 2002. Okay, so what happened? And, you know, some of us recall the Hanging Chad incident, for example, and the absurdity of that. What happened was that the Voter News Service told us who we were voting for, and the vote tabulations were not sufficiently rigged there in Florida in particular. And so, you know, we had to blame it on the Hanging Chad. It was, you know, it was the Hanging Chads, the miscounting. Because, see, here's a Hanging Chad. And it's ridiculous. It wasn't Hanging Chads. It was the voter news service saying, well, this is who won, and then honest people counting and saying, wait a minute, this number doesn't match that number. Oh, hold on. We have an explainer for that. Things like that have happened in the past. So you know what? We cleaned up that mess by having Edison Research manage all of the data, telling you in Jedi mind trick fashion who you voted for before you even vote, and then telling you who you voted for after the polls close. So, yeah, we cleaned up that mess. No more Hanging Chads. Anyway, we'll talk about this question, does voting matter, in the second hour coming up right after this short break. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hear ye, hear ye. ConstitutionOnTrial.com presents the most important question for our generation. Is the United States Constitution biblical? Witness the prosecution and defense of the United States Constitution on trial, live and unscripted at the Maranatha Retreat Center in Everton, Missouri, and streamed live on YouTube. For the prosecution, Ted Weiland, pastor, Bible teacher, and author of Bible Law versus the United States Constitution, The Christian Perspective. Versus for the defense, Brent Allen Winters, a practicing lawyer and author of Excellence of Common Law in Light of History, Nature, and Scripture. Is the United States Constitution biblical? Live and unscripted at the Maranatha Retreat Center in Everton, Missouri, and live streamed on YouTube. Saturday, September 19th from 6:30 till 9:30 p.m. Come one, come all. This most important event is free to attend and streamed live on YouTube. Go to ConstitutionOnTrial.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.